online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Dearly beloveds, we are gathered here today for the homegoing celebration of Mrs. Sean, who has gone up the yonder. What's up, everybody? You are tuned into AfterBuzz TV for Power. I am your host, Bam Erickson, and I would like to introduce my panel.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Cornelia.
I am Robin Ayers.
And I'm Janisha John.
And we have a very special guest in the building via Skype. He is in New York right now, and he is the character of Ruiz. Please welcome to AfterBuzz, Mr. Luis Antonio Ramos.
Yay! Yay!
What up?
We are so happy that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us via Skype. Let's just get right into it. So my question to everyone is, should the rest of the, I guess the drug lords, should they really trust Kanan's plan?
Ooh, no.
You have to turn the cap to the back for that one.
You know, trust the plan being that, you know, A, to kill Ghost by tomorrow.
Right.
And then B, to trust him since Lobos is in jail, Tommy's in jail, and how is Kanan going to get everyone on board?
I think in the scene you saw, I talked about this with a couple of people. You see a lot of doubt in everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of like on the fence with it, but they're not with him when they're going to go do this. So you never really know. You don't know. You know, we have long talks before all these scenes. I just want to say hi to everybody. Hello, Robin and all of y'all.
Hey.
It's quite a man. It is just, you just never know which way this thing's gonna go. With the writing, the actors sit around and we talk about it. We really kind of like me and 50 and Ratimi and Rush, you know, the other cat. We sat down and we talked about it, and we don't know. We don't really know which way it's gonna go. It's touchy, man, and the street game is very it can go either way at any time, as you know.
I have to agree. I mean, watching the episode, I would say that everyone looked like they weren't sure. And even what was his name?
Vladimir.
Yeah, Vladimir. He was even like, for your sake, mm-hmm. I hope you're right. You know, because yeah. Nobody seems to have that reassurance that this is what's going to go down. So I think in the back of everyone's minds, they're already plotting. Okay, what's next? What are we gonna do if this doesn't work out? You know, so that's
and
what
I think. As we get into season three, and we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, there's a lot of loose ends that have been tied up in this second season, and there's a lot of things kind of like, how do these two relate to this, and how did they wind up together, and what's their history, and you know, certainly with all of these guys that Ghost is working with, there's a lot of that.
Okay, you said when we get to season three, so it's safe to say that you are alive and you make it. Because you know, I'm notorious for killing people.
As a show, get to season three. I don't know what happens with me.
Right.
I could tell you.
Okay. Well, we actually have to say, I'm going to speak for all of us, that you have us questioning every episode, really, like, what's up with Ruiz, like, mm-hmm. trying to get a seat at the table. Like, you've done a great job thus far of playing Ruiz, and, you know, we're fans of your work, but what's up with Ruiz trying to get a seat at the table? What's going on?
He's playing, you know, Vibora, actually, Carlos Vibora Ruiz. Vibora means snake, and certainly, you know, I took that to heart as an actor. I kind of, that's, and that was my go-to thing every episode, every scene. Remember what this guy's doing. Sometimes you know he's there. Sometimes you don't know he's there. Sometimes you really shouldn't know if or not he's going to bite or not, or where he's situated. And, you know, this guy, we're not talking about a dumb guy. We're talking about a guy that's got a lot of businesses. He's got the gym. Yeah. He's got laundromats. And he's the major mover right now for Ghost. So there's a lot with this cat that's like still kind of unfolding, and what exactly it is that he wants to do. So we don't really know what his deal is, but he's seeing and watching everything. That's how the street is. You got to watch every corner. You got to watch every light. You got to watch every car that passes by. You can never fall. The minute that you fall asleep, trouble happens. We've seen that already in this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, the theme of this whole show is power. Yeah. And anybody that falls asleep for a second is going to get burned.
Yeah.
Anybody. Angela, Ghost, Tommy, his mother, mom, Debbie Morgan, everybody. Anybody that falls asleep for a second is going to get burned. So you can.
Great point. I did want to touch on his character. You know, Luis, I think, again, you play an amazing role as Ruiz, and I like that he's always cool, calm, and collected with a cigar in his hand. It's just real cool. You know, just there, just thinking and just, like, analyzing everything, and I admire that. Especially in this episode, I noticed that you always have that cigar, and you're just really sitting there and analyzing what's going on, so.
And he's older. Thanks. Thank you for that. Those are little choices that not just myself, everybody's making. You know, Joseph with the chain, the phone for a Ghost becomes an extension of who he is.
Wow.
Any pen in the hand of Angela becomes like a teacher's pointer stick.
You know, Naturi
with the hair and her thought process. Everybody has something. Every actor needs something that anchors them.
Wow.
So that so their hands aren't doing all this, like what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
I have a question. So you guys all want your character All One goes dead, but he's the only person that can get close to Lobos. So if you kill him, what make you guys think that Ruiz is going to get a seat at the table if you kill him? And then B, you don't have access to him. So why kill him? Why just keep him close?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, as I'm going along, and as you've seen, I'm not sure that Ruiz is really completely on board with this. So we'll see how that evolves.
Okay.
You know, I'm not really sure anybody's on board with this, because as you saw in that very pivotal scene with Kanan, it's kind of like, you know, this is really not a good move.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really sure that this is a good move. When he comes to meet me at the boxing gym, you're talking about taking these two guys out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what are we doing here? This could go really bad. And, so not just myself, but, you know, Vladdy's also not feeling it. My boys on the side, you know, when I talk to Frankie G, you know, me and Frankie G always, I remember in that scene, I look at him and kind of go, I don't know. You know, I'm not really sure about all of this. So, and this is evolving as we go, as Courtney and David Noller, and we all watch this thing, it's kind of like, okay, maybe we go this way. So we don't really know how this is going to go. I don't know the killing Ghost is a good idea, but that's the fan watching.
Right. Okay, but you've made a great point. You said, particularly with that scene, there was a whole lot of doubt, which is, you know, a great point and something that I think that we were all clearly able to see. And it, from my standpoint, it just seems like maybe not taking Ghost out is the way to go, but Ruiz just wants to be there and not be so on the outside. And he just, you know, literally wants a seat at the table but there's something there with that character, with Ghost, because there's a specific scene that we actually talked about. I believe it was episode 7, if I'm not mistaken, where Ghost was walking away from Ruiz, and he just gave him this stare down as they walked away. I mean, it was such disdain. So there's clearly something between the two characters where, you know, I don't know that Ruiz necessarily wants Ghost dead, but it's something there that we're, you know, definitely
trying to
read
into. There's something he's just not getting. Ruiz is not getting. He's not getting the respect he deserves for the job that he's doing in any company. Remember, let's not think about this as a street thing. Let's think about this as a company, a CEO, uh, and, uh, and an assistant CEO, for lack of a better way to put it, on a Wall Street firm. It's like he wants to be partner. Mm-hmm. He wants to be partner in the law firm, and he's being denied. So that in and of itself, let's add, now you add the street element to it, and it becomes, and it, as you said, you said it perfectly, it becomes disdain, because now it's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Now it's something else. Mm-hmm. Now it's not even about the seat on the table.
Right.
The street fight isn't always about the street fight. The street fight, the reason for the street fight always gets lost, because then it becomes about barking chihuahuas and pride.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
So this is about pride. This mm-hmm. is about, this is a Latin man, a family, you know, and let's not for a second dismiss that Latin thing, mm-hmm. you know, Latin mm-hmm. pride, that rooster thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, hey man, you know, what are you doing? We've discussed this several times. Given what I've done, we should be moving in a certain direction, and we're not. And, you know, no one in any business, be it a law firm, advertising, the street, likes being held down.
True.
No.
Very true. Because no, Ruiz is a powerful man, too. Yeah. You know, cause from what we see, it's like that's perfectly said, because it does become a pride thing, too. Like, yo, I'm doing my thing. I'm out here making it happen just like you. So I totally can see that. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. And me and Omari, you know, Omari and I talk about these scenes at length before we do them. And, you know, there are times where there have been certain scenes where we just kind of let it flow. And then there's been a couple of scenes where him and I have looked at each other and said, we need to go dark here, really, really dark. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those scenes where him and I, the actors, Omari and Luis, said, we need to take this somewhere else, because right. there's history here with these two, and something's going on here that's much more, that has nothing to do with the drugs. Mm-hmm. It's like I told you, sometimes a street fight, it's not what they're originally fighting about.
Right.
It's about something else.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point that you bring up, and you were just mentioning how you and Omari would sometimes have conversations in the moments. For me, I credit that as just your acting ability and your experience and being in the game for so long. And so I would like to ask you just a couple questions as far as this role. I look at all your credits and I literally think, okay, well, I wonder if, did you have to audition for this role, or did they give you this role? Because you've been in the game for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, it's funny. I was doing a show called Lucky 7 mm-hmm. for ABC. And the show gets canceled. And I'm in Toronto. And I'm like just kind of like laying back. We've done 9 episodes. You can watch it on one of those internet things. I'm catching up. I'm catching up to this whole like social media kind of thing. I'm learning as I go along. And at any rate, the show gets canceled. I stay in Toronto for a little while, and I'm on my way back, and I'm just kind of refreshed. I just kind of like, okay, time to go back to New York, time to get back into the grind. And on the way back, I get a phone call from my manager. Said, these people want to meet you tomorrow. It's a Thursday. They want to meet me on a Friday. Wow. To make a long story short, by Monday, there I was. Ooh, in the read-through. And I was like, crazy. I looked around, I listened to the read-through, and I was like, I'm not at ABC anymore. It was a whole nother thing. You know, and it's funny, you know what's funny is that I'm classically trained. I went to a conservatory for theater. I studied at NYU for a couple of years. I look at something like, and I talked to Courtney about this, I look at something like power, and it's, to me, it's Shakespearean in nature. Mm-hmm. It has a very Macbeth, King Lear, type of Hamlet type mm-hmm. of dynamic. Hmm. And you have to have that kind of overview to make something that's contemporary like this stand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It has to have that kind of thing. You have the brothers, you know, you have for the bastard son and King Lear, like, you know, which Joseph Sakura is playing. You know, Hamlet himself with, or King Lear, you know, blow yeah. winds blow, crack your cheeks. He's like, and when he yells to old boy, go,
Sean, when he yelled at Sean.
Tell me that's not a Shakespearean type of moment.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. We've actually heard that. That was, you know, the second time I heard that, that it was very Shakespearean. Mm-hmm. Did you, just by the read, when you went on that Monday, were you able to tell that Power was going to be such a dynamic show from that moment?
From about the third time that we were on set, by the time we were doing the third episode, I did Do the Right Thing.
Mm, yes, you did.
Many years ago.
I got happy, my bad. I know your body of work. Sorry, interrupt you. Go ahead.
So I go and I do the Right Thing many years ago. And we were on the set about 2 weeks in, and we kind of all looked, me and Martin Lawrence and Sam Jackson and a bunch of other people, we all looked at each other and were kind of like, wow, this is intense. By this time, we got Stevie Wonder walking through the set. Yeah. Reverend Jesse Jackson comes through. Eddie Murphy comes through on one of the night shoots. And we're like, okay, this is going to be something else. Never did I think that it would be what it's become. But I had the same feeling. I've only had that feeling twice. Mm. With Do the Right Thing and with Power.
Wow. That's huge.
That's incredible.
I
sat there and I kind of went, after the third episode, after we had the redo for the third episode, I was like, ooh, it's on. I'm here now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been on.
But it's what you alluded to, Bam. It's experience. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You can feel it. Actors sit on sets and producers sit around and they always think that they're doing the next, you know, the next Raging Bull or the next whatever. And it's not always the case, man. Mm-hmm. Sometimes work is just work.
Yeah,
right.
You mentioned Do the Right Thing, and you mentioned Martin Lawrence. You are an actor who I'm sure people recognize you for many roles, but for me, mm-hmm. I always think of two of the three roles that you actually played on Martin. One, when you were the landlord, and two, when you were the fixing man when Martin came, when Gina was in the hotel with Pam. It's always those two episodes when I see you, I always think that Martin.
Yeah.
So is there a role in particular that people recognize you from?
Man, you know, what I've been afforded for a long time is anonymity, mm-hmm. because I played so many different roles in so many different shows for so long. I just kind of like, it actually takes people about a half a block, I like to say, before they realize it. And usually behind me I hear, oh, shit. And so it's about a half a block down the way, you know. And we're in a period from like about 2005, 2004 forward where there's nothing that you can do that people don't see or can't mm-hmm. latch onto. A lot of work I did was prior to that.
Right.
That's pre-internet, pre-Twitter, pre like the whole social media thing. So there was a lot of work that I was quietly doing. And I was in The Shield. I did a 3-episode arc in The Shield. I did Alias. I did a bunch of those shows that, like, I actually was out in L.A. and thinking, man, I wonder, is anybody seeing any of this stuff? You know? And what Power's done, and I told this to Courtney, was it's made people go, wait a minute, I've seen this dude before, and they've gone back and mm-hmm. go, whoa, okay. Because, mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of rappers, you know, and comedians. I worked with Martin. I worked with LL Cool J on a show called In the House. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of different stuff that's out there. And Power, God bless all those people, man, because what it's done, it's kind of like brought all that rushing back. Mm-hmm. So it's been good.
I have a question for you, Lewis. What would you say is maybe your most favorite role or character that you've played or most similar to who you are on a day-to-day?
Boy, what character is most similar to what I've done? Man, I it's a play. I did a play at Arena Stage called mm-hmm. Stand Up Tragedy, which was a play on kind of like the whole stand-up comedy thing. And this guy, and I was one guy, and I played multiple characters. I played an older brother, and I played my mother, and it was in front of 800 people a night, you know. And it was that was the closest in terms of film and television. I don't know. I was trained to be an actor, so all of the characters that I played. I did a film called Latin Dragon where I played a cop, and there's a cop in me, there's a gangster in me, there's a teacher in me, there's a doctor in me, there's a mechanic in me. So all of them are a part of me. And you know, you're the, as an actor, if you have any experience, you know anything, you can't just pose. You gotta draw from something. You have to draw from the well, and the well is your wealth of experience. For me, as I've gotten older, it's gotten easier to access that well. Sometimes when you're younger, you don't have enough to draw from. There's not enough water in that well to draw from. As I've gotten older, it's gotten better. So, you know, I think this cat, Ruiz, is a combination of a lot of the guys that I grew up with.
Okay.
It says a lot about you as an actor. I'm always fascinated by actors when they play such a role so well that people, the public, tend to think that that's who they actually are. So maybe if someone were walking down the street, they're scared to talk to you. They think, you know what I'm saying?
Omari's a family man, with devoted family man with two children. Notori is this wonderful daughter and singer to her mother. Joseph is like, you know, a family man who loves his family and his brothers and has a whole different life that has nothing to do with being Tommy.
Absolutely. Who are you, Luis? Who are you in real life?
I'm a cyclist and a sports enthusiast and primarily a cyclist. I spend a lot of time on my bike. You know, that's what keeps me fit and ready for my work, except in the wintertime here in New York.
Yeah, you're not riding nowhere in the wintertime in New York.
Nothing in New York at that time. There were days we were shooting that. Remember that big scene when we were when we went into the Serbian's place to raid that thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ Almighty, there was ice on the river and we were right near it.
Oh,
we were,
man.
It was just buck wild cold. I was like, oh, God, what is going on here? I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
12, 13 hours.
Oh, wow. You know?
But it was great. You know, and I'm single and I ride my bike and just kind of like try to take care of my family, you know, what's left. My dad just recently passed. And he was good, man. He went out like a champ. He's a bad man.
Yeah, hey.
And my dad, there's a lot of my dad in Bibora. There's a whole lot of my dad.
Any real life boxing experience?
I did a play called Camino Real. You know, I did a lot of theater stuff, man. And, you know, the theater is what taught me to commit. The theater is where I learned how commitment, meaning that you had to be all in. And I think that's what you see, not just with myself, but I think you see that from the guys in the background in power all the way through to Omari. You know, all the ladies are just amazing. What Notori's doing, what Layla's doing, what Big Red's doing. I like to call her Big Red.
The key
to this show is this. It is that the ball never drops. The air is never let out of the balloon. There's never a break. You can't just kind of go, okay, I could take a breath during this scene. You can't. You got to be like paying attention, like, whoa, what the hell's going on?
Edge of the seat.
Because if you miss something, you got to go watch it again. And from what I understand, 9 out of 10 people got to go watch it again because they're just
we sure do. We definitely do.
So, Luis, before I let you go, there's one other thing that I want to say to you. Like I said, I have followed your work for many, many years. You are actually on one of my favorite old school shows of all time. You played the kid at the airport on a TV show called The White Shadow. Don't judge me. But you... I love The White Shadow. Don't judge me. I love that show. But that was literally the first TV episodic that you did with this other actor by the name of Alfre Woodard. So I follow you. So I would like to say that you are really, truly one of the actors who I aspire to be because you are a working actor. Mm-hmm. Brother, a job. You consistently work, and you are truly one of the actors who I really aspire to be because just your body of work says it all. So thank you so much, and let everyone know where you could be found on social media.
I can be found at Luis A. Ramos Actor on Twitter. I'm Luis Antonio Ramos on Facebook, and I have a film that's going to be released sometime in late September called The Stockroom. With a guy named Victor Cruz and April Lee Hernandez and Lisa Colon Zayas, who happens to be David Zayas' wife, who was on, what was that show where that dude was killing people all the time?
Dexter?
Dexter,
yeah. Remember the cop, Dexter? His wife's in this film. we're all in this film together. It's a great little film. Nice. That was shot here in New York. One of those things I was able to kind of like do while we were doing Power.
You were also in a film called, or you're doing a film called You Bury Your Own?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And when is that? I'm in film You Bury Your Own. There's an episode of Madam Secretary where I actually play the president of Venezuela.
Oh, so, nice. Okay.
Well, you know what? You keep doing your thing. We are watching you, and we are certified fans of you. And so, yeah, keep doing your thing. We'll be watching.
Love you all. Thanks. Keep enjoying Power. Next week is the final episode of season two. Can you imagine that?
I know. We're so sad about it. But we're excited
it's
for season
sweet
three.
Because, yeah. It was sweet because we know season three is going to come. So. Yes. Yeah.
And my fingers are crossed. Please stay alive.
You're the one person that Bam does not want to kill off this week.
Because he even killed off the children.
He kills everyone.
Yeah.
He killed the children.
He's gone. Hey. And I bet you everybody that thought Deshaun was going to get killed didn't think that it was going to be done by his father.
Right.
Sure didn't.
Yes, yeah.
Or in episode 9. It's normally the finale.
So
but
we love you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing on the show and keeping the show alive and doing all the things that you're doing, talking about it. It's great. It's great to hear, and good job.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you later. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Okay, all right, so now we got to literally dive right into this. Okay, so question. What the hell was Angela thinking? So did she really think that she was going to arrest Tommy? Did she think that she was then going to be the prosecutor to defend him, get him to testify against Lobos for a lesser plea deal, and then put him and his mother under federal
witness
protection?
Come on.
Yes, she did, because she probably gets to do that. You know, when you get to do certain things in your job and you're just so used to things working out, or you just get the bad guy.
Yeah.
To her, it was, I got the bad guy. She wasn't even, like when Ghost said a few scenes later, but I gave you Lobos.
Right.
So you won't have to focus on Tommy. Even when he said that, she was looking like, and?
Yeah.
Like, I want the bad guy. Tommy's the bad guy.
Yeah, she's got no love for Tommy. But you know, you're absolutely right. Angela really felt, I think, like she was on a winning streak. You know how it's like, oh, good. We got that boom. Yeah. Got that boom. Like, score. You know, I think that she really, really, really truly thought that she was winning and that she was going to get Tommy and all that stuff locked up.
To me, it just seemed a little tick, tick, boom, when after she brought Tommy down from prison down to the basement, the secret room, mm-hmm. Tommy said, you know what? I'll just blab it. And you still think that you're just going to take this man to jail? Like, this bitch is crazy. I'm sorry. You are crazy if you think you're going to do all of this.
Right.
That's all I have to
say. Yeah, she's sort of winging it, I think. But let me say this. Tommy did such a great job with his acting in this entire episode. It was mainly through his facial expressions. I don't know if y'all were reading it, mm-hmm. but like towards Angela, he gave everything towards like just when he wanted to say something, but he couldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, his whole body language. I just had to give him super props for that this episode.
I agree, especially when he was in the room with his lawyer and he was like, if you want to catch this Lobos guy, I can't help. Can I go back to my cell?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, my favorite line in that scene was, he was like, there was a bunch of Mexicans in the room. Which one was he?
Can I go back to my cell now?
Yeah. Fuck this dude.
Yeah.
Playing the
yeah.
game. I think he did an amazing job. I think what really stood out for me with Tommy this episode was his interaction with his mother, though.
Oh, that's great.
It reminded me so much of him with Holly. I was like, wait, did you really just call your mom? What did he say? Something.
Ditsy bitch.
Yes.
After she kissed him in the mouth.
Yes.
Did you
peep that?
We noticed that before, their interaction before. It'll probably still unfold for us, but it's something real creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to defend Tommy just because she's a cokehead and she doesn't know any better. Tommy knows the streets better. So he had to, by all means,
shut her up.
Shut her fuck up.
Yep.
And okay. I don't think he needed any defense in this, because I agreed with that scene. I was just like, yeah, like, come on. Like, she was really, like, ditzy in that room. Like, you know there's mics around here. There's cameras around here. There's people through that mirror. You know that. Mm-hmm. Or you're supposed to know that, you know?
Well,
so
she's coked up. I mean, half the time. I'm pretty sure her logic was like,
she was come like, on, though, man.
They're going to take the house. They're going to take everything.
Yeah, she was just an emotional wreck.
Another thing for me when Tommy was in jail is the relationship relationship between he and Proctor, the lawyer.
Yeah.
Proctor told Tommy that that Ghost was late to the drug drop off, in which Ghost wanted Proctor to say that. I have to question and throw this question out to you. Is Tommy, I mean, is that what a real friend does? Because now I feel that there's some trust issues, and I don't feel Tommy should fully be able to trust him because he lied. Right. Tommy knows that Ghost will never be late to the money drop, number one, so he lied. And then number two, if I was Tommy and Ghost was my homeboy, I would feel a certain way that you put me in jail.
And you're not here with me.
Yeah. For me, the whole street code in which Ghost told Angela, I feel like you broke our street code and now I'm ready to break ankles.
Right. Well, clearly that's sort of what he's feeling in this episode, especially in the beginning. Tommy, he's clearly confused, right? He's just like, what's up? I'm in here. And then there was a scene where he was walking. There were the two lines and he saw him from the side. And he's like, gee, like, you know, I think that was his moment of being like, that's not you. Where is Ghost?
Where is Ghost?
Yeah. So he's just totally confused. But I think you're right when he's with Proctor. Jerry Farrar, he's great. Yeah. I liked his role in this. I hope he continues on a little bit. But anyway, I think that it was great, the whole breakdown of that, and I think that he definitely doesn't believe him, and it's sort of meant for him to be confused right now.
I still think, though, that he sort of still has that trust in Ghost to handle it, though, because regardless of what, like, okay, you know, what's his name? Proctor explains what he's doing. Like, your friend is paying top dollar for me to be here. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, in the back of my mind, all right, Ghost got this under some kind of control, which is why I think he kind of let things rock.
I agree with you because even when he got out, I would at least punched him real quick in the mouth first and been like,
Let's think about it, though. All Tommy needed to be sure that Ghost was on his side was for him to do something to Angela. Mm-hmm. And Ghost knew that. So the whole thing was, Tommy was like, you and Ghost working together. Because he keeps saying it. And he even said it to this time when he saw Angela at the in the hole wherever he met up with her. Mm-hmm. Y'all working together and y'all trying to sell me out. But the minute Ghost flipped on him, that's what turned Tommy. If Ghost would have never done that, I don't think that Tommy would have came out as happy or as chummy with Ghost as he was. Because basically, if I were on the outside looking in and I were Tommy, I would basically say, okay, so basically Ghost is done with, he's done with Angela now because he flipped on her. There's no turning back. You can't fix that relationship, so he's all team me now.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that chuckle?
It was like a pacifier.
And he laughed, like, he looked at her like, you got yours now, when, you know, that evidence came out too. So. Yeah.
Good point. I strike what I just said.
No, it's not. You had a good point, though.
Yeah, but, okay, now Greg snooping to me is becoming more obvious, and it proves my theory because I mean he is constantly just lurking, just peeking, just peeking. Mm-hmm. When Angela was talking with Mike, he listened to the conversation, then he goes over. So did you tell Mike
I have a question though. Do you guys think that it's solely from a professional standpoint, or he's just
I think it's both. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's my question. My question is, do you think that Greg wants James St. Patrick in prison because a professional, or do you think it's because it's personal, because of the relationship and that he can have Angela to himself, or as I said, because I think he is the insider to Lobos.
He's the mole. That's true. You did say that.
I forgot you said that.
Yeah.
That's a good twist on it.
Yeah, it's a good twist.
Because he's too thirsty. Like, he's too thirsty trying to get, always asking questions about, like, Ghost.
Who informed you? And yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, maybe.
And Lobos did say when they were on the rooftop that he had an inside.
So. I think it's a combination of all of those, including what you just said, Bam, possibly. But it's definitely a situation that I think is, so not only did Angela step out and I'm salty because she's not with me no more, but come to find out she's not with me for the dude that we're really after.
Right.
So, and I have to find out this information by following you, which is a super scent move. But in his thing, he's like, okay, so are you working with him? Because at this point, you would know. If Angie knew that Ghost was connected to Tommy and he knows what her job is, and you see her linking up with this dude, linking up with Holly, linking up with all these people connected, you automatically think that she's a part of it. I would think she was a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I agree, but this was actually the scene where we finally get to see that he actually does say something to Angela, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, I've been following you. So I was glad, because I was like, listen, how many more scenes can we watch Greg, you know what I'm saying, following Angie? It's just like, come on now. So I was glad that, okay, we're moving forward from this. So yeah, I think it's a combination of things, though, too.
Mm. Okay. Now, question. Do you think that... should Angela be mad that she got played?
No. She's salty.
She's salty.
I mean, Ghost warned her. He warned her several times, and I even make the quote. He says, violates everything to betray a friend. Better consider carefully. There are consequences to her actions. I mean, he warned her all throughout the episode.
He sure did.
He did. But she has a right to be salty, but she should have expected it. But when you mix business with pleasure, then that's what happens. You get burned. The thing is, Angela wants to be able to initially tell Ghost that Tommy was on the chopping block, which was bad right there. Mm-hmm. Because if she didn't want this to have happened eventually, what did she think was going to happen? You tell me my dog is getting investigated and I'm just supposed to be like, oh, cool, so we good now? We good? Naive. The fact that she even did that right there says that she didn't understand what she was actually doing or what she was getting into.
That's the point. Ghost told her at one scene, he said, you're from the neighborhood too. Mm-hmm. That means Angie forgot who she was dealing with. She thought she was dealing with Jamie, this club owner, this corporate, whatever. Yeah. Yes, but she forgot, not that she had to know that he's Ghost, but she forgot that she's dealing with the dude from the street. So she just let her guard down. And so, no, you can't necessarily be mad at that, because she thinks she's playing dirty. You know what I'm saying? She thinks she's smart, but you forgot that you're messing with a dude who's from the same neighborhood as you, and he's probably playing just as smart. If not smarter, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And there was something that I noticed. There was a lot of I won't say nitpicking, but there was a lot of things that was being charged at Ghost. From Angela's perspective, Jamie, you've changed. And then you have Tasha and Tommy, you know, Tasha, you've changed, Ghost, you've changed. And so change to me seemed to be one of the big themes for Saturday's episode. And so has Ghost changed and has Jamie changed, or are they so wrapped up into their emotions that they are forgetting, as you said, he's both?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, well, you can go ahead, Keneally.
I don't know if he necessarily has changed, but what I gather from Jamie/Ghost is that he shows people what they need to see. And he has done this. Look at Tasha. Tasha just found out now, when he started cheating on her, that she wasn't in a real relationship, because he was showing her what she wanted to see.
Yeah.
Like, he was showing, that's what she was surprised. Like, what you mean? Like, this is a fraud, because he was showing her, mm-hmm, what she wanted. He's been showing Tommy what Tommy needs to see to keep Tommy at bay, that he's the street dude, he's all about the street life. Mm-hmm. He's showing people inside the club that he's all about the club business. That's what he's showing. So I don't know if he's necessarily changing. I think Ghost is, he's an actor. Ghost is an actor. He has so many different personas, but he knows who to show you to keep you doing what you're going to be doing and keep you thinking what you're going to think about him.
Yeah, Jay-Z said it best, though, in my opinion. He said, you think I worked this hard to stay the same? So I do think that Ghost is changing. I think that Jamie is changing, but I think that he's changing for the better, and mm-hmm, the people around him. You know, when you're doing for yourself, you want to bring everybody along. Like, yo, we don't have to do that anymore. We can move forward and we can be clean and all that stuff. But unfortunately, nobody wants to move with him. So mm-hmm, that's what I think, that, yeah, he is changing, but as he should.
And I think, to answer your question, but I'm like, I feel like a lot of them are really wrapped up in their emotions, especially like Tasha. You know, she's just going through all of this stuff where she's like, okay, well, he doesn't want to be with me, he wants to be with Angie. And so she's like dealing with that. You're not the same person, but at the same time, he's still making those moves. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, making those chess moves, and it's like, you know, if she lets him be Ghost, the Ghost that she knows, and she'll understand that he got it. That's what he told her. I got this.
And he beat on his chest too. He was like, I said I effing got this. I mean, that was just, I love that scene.
So let me ask this question. So was it is it smart or dumb of Tasha to move away, never be seen or heard? Is it possible? Will he find her? And now you want to bring Sean, the Tariq, the kids?
Well, I think she's scared. But
I agree. She's scared. If you were married to a street dude and his right hand got locked up, the right hand called you and said, "Where the hell is your husband? Mm-hmm. I'm locked up and Ghost is nowhere to be found." You find out that Ghost is just somewhere kicking it with this imaginary plan that nobody knows about. And he's still dating the woman who put his right hand in jail. Mm. He's still with her. Mm-hmm. Automatically, as someone with a family and with someone who knows that can lose it all, I think in her mind the plan made sense. But then when she incorporated like Sean into what he gonna do?
Right, he ain't gonna have no job.
Right,
number one. So you got to start all over again, and it's not gonna be a street dude that you're used to being with Ghost.
And he ain't saving.
I think at that
point, he's gonna be all in your face.
At that point, I think she was just kind of desperate. I think when Keisha put in her mind, "Are you really gonna do this by yourself?" It's like, who is she gonna call, her mama? Right. Her mama involved all that. Right. So I think at that point she's desperate and she feels that that might be the only person who got her back. So
yeah, and unfortunately, women have a tendency to live off of that moment, that love, that affection that she was receiving from Sean, but not necessarily thinking that's not gonna last forever. You know, this is gonna die down, and then reality happens, and you're gonna be like my baby daddy to the kids. I mean, it's just, you know,
it was the same age
shaky
to
plan, Tasha, shaky.
It was funny when Keisha was like, $200,000. What you gonna do with that? Yeah. That's your shoe allowance.
So as we go into the big bulk of the story, my question is: do you guys think that? Do you think Tasha is the cause for Sean to be killed due to the pillow talk she shouldn't have been having with him in the first place?
I think she has to. I don't think she publicly is going to take ownership for any part of this, even if she finds out what really happened.
She's going to pass out on the casket. She's going to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, she's going to go in when she finds out that Sean is dead.
She's going to be singing Going Up Yonder.
Going Up Yonder. Low key though, she might not care, but on the low. But
I might have to agree with you.
Right, I think she'd be like, "Dang, that's messed up." But
keep it moving.
She's like, "Yeah, yeah." It was an extra body, you know, extra head, mouth to feed. But I think that she plays a role, because as soon as he started getting some cool to mama, he turned into this whole other guy. If Sean would never have gotten this extra boost of confidence, he would have just been riding this little wave. He would have still been under his father, and he still would have wanted Kanan's support. But ain't nothing like having the woman of your dreams behind you talking about, "Yeah, baby, you can do this." But he had a cape on. Yeah. He grew a pair. So I don't think it was her fault or that she has to take responsibility, but she played a part. Mm-hmm. He gonna text her talking about "love you." Love you. I was like, oh, he's done.
I do think, okay, so Tasha has a little bit to play with that, but I also feel that Kanan has a lot to do with how he's acting too, because, you know, he's at the point now where he's seeing Dre rubbing it all in his face, like, you know, "You sure you got this?" And I think at this point he just feels like he has to prove himself, you know, to his dad, and to prove Dre wrong, and then, you know, Tasha like, "Yo, I can take care of this too." So it's a mixture to me of all of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily put it on Tasha too much, and I would agree with you that it's more about Kanan, because let's talk about the scene. Let's talk about when he's, you know, the plan was, okay, drive into the you know, alley and then put his music on. He's listening to the playback of his dad in his mind. He's like, okay, so this is the guy who is in his mind and taking, he's maneuvering him. Okay, yeah, play the music, you know, okay, be calm. You know what I'm saying? So it's clearly Kanan, and it's definitely Kanan's fault, but it's Sean's fault for being so gullible, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You gotta look at yourself. Like, you let this man get into your head and just try to maneuver you to make some decisions that you're not big enough for. And so I'm glad that scene did not work out, you know, that the cop stopped him and was just like, I don't know that he was gonna do it. I think that something would have happened anyway.
Do you think he would have done it?
No, clearly not.
Do you think he would have done it?
No.
I don't think he would have done it either.
Yeah.
And then I also think that Sean made so many bad moves. Again, he had to die, because after you pull the gun on Ghost, then he tells you you don't have a suit, like you don't know about this life,
right? And your daddy didn't tell you.
And your daddy didn't tell you. And then when he tells him that, you know, you need to be better, move, go to New York.
Yeah.
Why the hell would then you go to your daddy to give him the last final words that you ain't shit, you ain't my daddy, knowing that
crazy.
You gave the man. You laid the gun right on the table, but you died.
Yes, I mean, but who thinks their daddy's gonna shoot them though?
Real talk.
I'm sorry. Oops. Yeah.
Sorry. But you know what? For Sean to even pull the gun out on Ghost and not just boom take him out shows that you're a little boy. You're gonna give him time. You're gonna have a conversation with him while you got a gun to his head. It's like if you pull it out, you better use it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're really not about that life. Like Omari did the whole Krav Maga. You know, type of move where he took the gun from him and, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
he was choking him out like this. F-boy, what do you call him? I mean, it was such a dope scene. But again, to Omari, he did a fantastic job in this scene as well. He's been acting his butt off, y'all. Like, he really needs some props for that. He's been really doing a great job.
He'll definitely be nominated for the NAACP Awards.
He's
got to
be. That one scene that Luis was, that he referred to, the go, mm-hmm. like when he yelled at Sean, go, like, if you could see the smoke or what was it when it's cold
like
outside
and
you see the steam come out of his mouth. I mean, such a great shot right there. You know what I mean? But he's so merciful.
So
not to kill Sean right there.
So any thoughts on the confrontation between Sean and Ghost before we have any final thoughts on Sean and Kanan?
I just thought it was unfortunate, and it shows that Ghost has been more of a father to Sean than Kanan was.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
fact that Kanan sent him out to do his dirty work, didn't tell him, so you're going to need another suit. He just basically gave him a gun, was like, kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But even after Sean buffed up and basically said, me and your wife been kicking it, Ghost still was like, you know what? Just go. Because killing him in Ghost's mind would have been pointless. Kill you for mm-hmm. what? You already, there's you're not a street dude.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy's crazy. I'm done with you. So it'd just be better for him to disappear. And it's just unfortunate that Sean had to learn at that moment that your daddy wasn't shit.
Pretty much.
Like, my daddy ain't shit. Like, he sent me out here on this goon mission for no reason. For his own retaliation.
Yeah. So then he goes back to Kanan, like you said, you know, Kanan was clearly like, you disappointed me once again and all of that. And it was such a sad scene, and I knew it was coming. I just knew it was coming. Like, and then Sean tried to walk away and just tried to start his life all over again, and Kanan dirty self.
And then you told your daddy, again, because he's young, dumb, and he just, poor thing, didn't know any better, because
right.
not only did you walk away turning your back, you also then said, I'm about to leave and go with Tasha.
Right.
Poor thing.
Thing nobody's supposed to know, you just said out your mouth.
Yeah.
Like,
on top of that, he's dying and he's reaching for his cell phone. I don't know who he was going to call.
Tasha, 911.
I think Tasha.
I thought that scene was funny. Go for it. Kate was like, get that phone.
Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Number one? You gonna call mommy? You gonna call Ghost?
But did y'all think that Kanan regrets it? Because he had a look on his face that he was like, shit. Like,
for a split second. But then when he picked up his phone to call Dre, just showed me right there everything I needed to know. Like, he never saw him as his son. Mm-hmm. He thinks Dre is his son. Mm-hmm. Like, in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That was heartbreaking.
It was
We're
very
sorry to see you go, Sean. Sinqua, you did a great job.
You had a good one.
Sean. Well, Bab killed you episodes ago, but
now it's a reality. Huh?
Only thing I'll say about this is, I thought, in your words, I thought it was a cold piece for him to die. It's for a series regular to die episode 9, and you can't even make the full season 2.
Yeah.
I was Courtney, I have some questions for you, okay? So now let's go into Cornelius' cold piece. DJ, hit the beat.
Cold piece of the week for episode 9 of season 2 of Power goes to Kanan, obviously. I don't think anybody is in disagreement with this. And I made a list of the things that Kanan was a piece of shit for. He was terrorizing the community as soon as he got out of prison with that Pelly Pell coat on. He was responsible for pink sneakers and the whole situation with her. Popping up on Tasha like some dude that sent the hey you text that be hitting you up on your cell phone. He disappeared and came back on the Chinatown bus. Cold for that. He cut Dre's friend's tongue out. He shattered Dre's poor little dreams about getting off the block. He killed his own son. He killed his own son after sipping him out to kill ghosts. Because, like Sean said, you just a bitter old thug. And now, Dre, you gonna get the cold piece set because you still hanging with this dude. He gonna kill you too. So, let us know online who your cold piece of the week should be. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using hashtag cold piece.
You on fire today.
With that pelipel coat on, or that.
It was like studded. Like, come on, dude. It's
mind studded. But we love you, 50.
We do love you, 50. Not you, Kanan.
This is Kanan. Oh, Lord. So let's go. Let's go into predictions.
Damn, I can't.
That was good.
I'll go because Bam is
Bam is not over there. Bam,
Dre's toast, like I said. Okay. I only think Dre is toast now because I originally said that I think Sean is going to kill Dre. But once you find out that the dude that you rolling with is killed his son, I think something's gonna happen with Dre going to ghost with the scary look, like, yo, your boy is a little whatever. Cause I just don't see Dre being the type of guy he wants to be, having this focus on his family, wanting to get off the block. I don't see him still looking at Kanan the same way, and I think that's gonna cause something, and I wouldn't doubt if Kanan killed him too.
Mm-hmm. Me. Okay. So it's sort of obvious the way that Angela and Greg were talking at the end of the episode, and they were trying to build a case against Ghost, and she said, let's take him down. And that to me was like a little too obvious to actually take him down. So I figure maybe she said, tell me everything you know about St. Patrick. So she's trying to get all the information that he knows, possibly to go try to actually save him this time, actually try to, you know, get him out of a situation. Because going back to a previous episode when she said a woman will do anything for a man that she's in love with, I mean, I know they're supposed to be salty with each other and mad at each other, but that might come into play.
Interesting. I'm curious to see that happen. For me, I'm thinking of something completely different outside of, you know, the whole situation with Angela and, you know, the trial and all of this stuff. I'm thinking that Stern is going to come back. And, you know, of course we didn't touch on it, but, you know, the office was all tossed up and stuff. So I think, I forget his name, but the one who took out Jamie's office, I think he and Jamie either are going to get into it because the numbers either aren't going to add up, or he found the paperwork that, from the previous nights, you know, basically prevent him from making his gold. So I think they're going to have some issues in the next episode. So.
Speaking of Stern, I think that Ghost is going to actually set Kantos up.
Kantos.
His whole disposition totally changed when he walked into the office to tell him about the party. Mm-hmm. He told Kantos, get off the phone! Mm-hmm. Like, he yelled at him like he was still the boss. Mm-hmm. So his whole disposition has changed, and he's out to get Stern and Ghost, and I think the way to do that is to do something to Kantos.
And to go to that point, mm-hmm. did you see that one of the very last scenes was that Kantos walked into the office and it was ransacked? Yeah. So that might be something to that.
I agree also with your theory as far as that would be too easy with the whole Angela and Ghost situation. Now, Tommy in the previews goes to Kanan and says that Ghost set him up. So I think that Tommy and Ghost has a plan to take down Kanan.
Yeah.
Because at this point, excuse me, Kanan actually needs to die, be killed, stabbed.
Please.
He needs to, like, don't just kill him, but you need to, like, rip his body parts. Mm-hmm. He has to go because I can't see him coming into season 3 and still causing and wrecking havoc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm wondering how this takedown is going to go. So it appears that that Tommy goes to Kanan pretending as if I just got out of jail and now I don't trust this whole Ghost, and so I think that's the probably plan. But like I said, there has to be a bloodbath mm-hmm. between the drug lords, Tommy, Ghost, Dre, and somebody else has to die.
Yeah.
Real quick too, maybe Kanan's gonna try to flip and say that Sean and put the Sean murder on Ghost.
That too, yeah. Mm.
Well, we don't know any of that, but hopefully one of these predictions come true. What I am doing is calling 50 Cent out. Come on our show, because that would be the perfect ending to our, you know, finale as well. So 50 Cent, come on in, brother. Skype in like your boy did.
Yeah. So let everyone know where you guys can be found on social media.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Kanelia. Also on iTunes, a Happy Hour Podcast.
You can find me at Robin Ayers on all social media or my website, itsrobinayers.com.
And you can find me at Janisha underscore Miss VI on all social media.
And you can find me on all social media at Bay American. Thank you guys for tuning in after Buzz TV for Power. We want to also thank our special guest, Mr. Luis Antonio Ramos.
Thank you.
Who plays the character of Ruiz. So thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, the finale, there's going to be a lot to discuss and maybe some surprises. So keep it locked. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.